This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your most pressing questions related to health and nutrition. Your way of getting through to us is via radio program at AOL.com. We've got a big stack of questions. We will endeavor to get through as many of them as possible. Layla Mutin is our Hoffman Center nutritionist. I work with her daily. We work side by side helping patients at the Hoffman Center here in New York City. And we are co-hosts of the weekly Q&A with Layla. And Layla, of course, you, in your own right, are the host of your own podcast.
Yes, yes.
Which is called, Layla, drum roll please.
Layla Weighs In every Friday.
Appropriately enough, because yeah. Layla is a registered dietitian and she has a master's degree in the field of nutrition. So she weighs in on topics of interest to you every week. And it's really a popular podcast. We inaugurated that a few months ago, and the numbers are through the roof on that. So, congratulations
Wonderful.
To you.
Wonderful.
So you are a star in your own right on the nutrition front. we answer questions usually, but before we get into that, what's in the news this week? Headline: Less than 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle.
I find that hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. Yeah, that's
97% are
97%. Okay, so here's the story, and you know, I posted this on Facebook, and it's always fun, you know. To another way that you can interact with Intelligent Medicine is you can like me on Facebook. We have thousands and thousands of followers on Facebook. This sort of way to get kind of a quick hit on health information is if you follow me and I post information that I think you will find interesting and scintillating. And so I posted, shocking stat, do you count yourself among the 3%? And then the headline, less than 3% of Americans live a healthy lifestyle, and a link to the article. Lots of people commented on it. And one person wrote simply, yes. Well, that's good. She's among the 3%. It's kind of like the, you know, the 99% and the 1%.
There's right.
like an income disparity, but there's also a health disparity in America.
Look at that. Wow.
It's like a privileged situation. But another person wrote, yes, but what is going to happen to our population as it ages? How will Medicare pay for all the health care if 97% of the population succumbs to lifestyle diseases? That's a good point, because there are economic impacts of this. But so you can ask a question about this. What, you know, what are their criteria?
Right. What are their, yeah.
Okay, so here's the story. Researchers say that 97.3% of Americans, adults, get mm-hmm. a failing grade on healthy lifestyle habits. And what are the criteria? Well, they want you to get a moderate amount of exercise. We'll find out what that is. Eat right and keep from piling on fat and avoiding smoking. Okay, the avoiding smoking part is probably the most well-delineated part, because either you are or you're not a smoker.
Right.
But then there's what constitutes good exercise and mm-hmm. what constitutes a good diet.
Right. Which differs depending on who you ask.
So, you know, interestingly enough, I might be considered someone who has an unhealthy lifestyle, because I eat meat and saturated fat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat dairy, but when I had dairy, it was like whole dairy. It was like,
right.
So they might actually think that that's an unhealthy lifestyle based on outmoded criteria. Or that I eat like 15 eggs a week. Uh-huh. They might say, oh my goodness.
Oh, your cholesterol must be through the roof.
You're killing yourself. So anyway, the researchers assessed how many people followed four general, quote, principles of healthy living: a good diet, moderate exercise, not smoking, keeping body fat under control. Well, you know, it's actually becoming a rarity to find people who are optimal body fat.
That's true.
We now have reached the point where the minority of people are at optimal weight.
That's true.
If they use the BMI, that could screw things up entirely.
That's true.
The people who are fit sometimes have a high BMI.
Because they have more muscle, which weighs more than fat. But the other thing is, people of normal weight think that's enough. They may still be high in body fat.
They may be tofi. Thin outside, fat inside. Metabolically fat. You know, like, so we see some people and they look fine, but then we do our glucose tolerance test on them, and they have very high insulin resistance.
Right, which puts them in fat storage mode. Yeah.
So, what they found was 71% of the adults surveyed did not smoke, 38% ate a healthy diet, 10% had a normal body fat percentage.
That's a big issue.
And if they measured body fat percentage, that's a more accurate way of assessing, because what we do with the, we do the body fat analysis of patients who come here. And 46% got sufficient amounts of physical activity. So you can imagine it's like a Venn diagram of, like, don't smoke, but normal body weight. The body fat percentage is really the clincher here.
Yeah.
It was that was such a rarity. Only 10% had an optimal body fat.
Yeah.
16% had three of the healthy lifestyle behaviors. 37% had two. 34% had one. And 11% had none. That's not good. They smoked, they were overweight, they had a bad diet, and they didn't exercise. Okay.
Right. Smoking and exercise, I've never seen go hand in hand. It's the exception.
Yeah, you know, so bottom line, in this summary article, I don't see what their criterion is for a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, since a fair...
I wonder if they follow just the dietary guidelines, which overall are not
They say not that bad. 38% of Americans eat a healthy diet. I would contest that.
Yeah, I would too.
You know, I would say that, you know, is overly generous.
And, you know, when people take these, when they do these surveys and these questionnaires, they want to give the answer that they think you want to hear.
Right.
So not everybody's going to be honest.
Right, that's true.
And this is a big problem in scientific research where we look at food frequency questionnaires.
Right.
And we're relying not only on somebody's recall of what they ate, not just yesterday, but over the past 3 months or even a year, but the fact that they're not being completely honest.
Right.
With what they're having. Or, you know, I like to call it selective memory to some degree.
Also, people are sometimes not accurate in their self-assessment of their weight.
That's true.
You know, some people say, yeah, I'm in a good weight. You know, it's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You know.
Some people with that issue, oftentimes then they'll walk by, you know, down the street and they see their reflection, say, in a storefront window, and they don't realize, oh, that's me. What happened? Or some kind of revelation. Or they see themselves in a picture that somebody took recently.
So anyway, bottom line, by whatever criteria we use, we are falling short of the mark. We're probably in trouble vis-a-vis all the myriad of lifestyle disorders. You know, we now believe that you know, maybe 70% of medical conditions are related to lifestyle. Some of it's the luck of the draw. You know, and some of it's, you know, infectious diseases, which are certainly affected by our diet and our lifestyle. But, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, stuff happens, you get sick.
Right. But let's remind everybody that our twin epidemics of obesity and diabetes, these are lifestyle diseases more than anything.
And which don't just cause diabetes death, but also cause cardiovascular death, cancer death, and lots of other related
and
problems.
Possibly Alzheimer's as well.
Yeah, certainly brain disorders. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was a disheartening statistic. And hey, that's sort of what we're all about, because we're bucking the tide of unhealthy living.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I would like to do, you know, maybe for my radio show, I'm going to do a little more research on what exactly that article says, so that I'll share with people the exact criteria for that. You know, how much exercise, what type of diet they consider healthy. Smoking, it's either you do or you don't.
Right.
And weight, what is the precise body fat percentage that they think you should achieve?
That would be good criteria.
Right.
I was reading in a Medscape article recently that there are more people drinking sugary soft drinks than ever, and I think part of that, besides... sugar is very addictive. We just have to face that. It could feel like it's very, very hard to stop.
Right.
The way some people have trouble stop. Well, I can't live without bread. What do you mean I can't eat bread? That's their sugar.
We have a question from a kid about that.
Yeah.
Who wrote an email, yeah. So we'll get into that later.
We will.
Sugar craving, the basis for it. Another article I want to share with you, very exciting, is, you know, we talk about nutrients for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we know fish oil, and we know vitamin K2 and magnesium, mm-hmm. and CoQ10 and, you know, vitamin E and on and, mm-hmm. you know, certainly chiolic aged garlic extract. And there's a new one, mm-hmm. that has just been reported on, and it comes from an unlikely source, because we know, for example, that eating cruciferous vegetables is good against cancer,
mm-hmm.
but it turns out good for the heart, because there's an article, and it's kind of complicated. One person wrote a comment saying, sure could use a translation button on this one, but I kind of know what it says. I'll study it more later. I actually posted the study from PubMed from, mm-hmm. a journal called Experimental Biology Medicine. And the somewhat grandiose title of it is Sulforaphane Attenuates the Development of Atherosclerosis and Improves Endothelial Dysfunction. Bottom line, the lining of your arteries, the endothelium, is protected by sulforaphane, which is a compound that we know has anti-cancer effects,
yeah.
but now has anti-heart disease effects. It's also been shown to be beneficial in autism.
Oh, my goodness. Bring on the broccoli.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of people concerned about broccoli as a goitrogen.
Yeah.
I attacked that in an article which I put out in the newsletter,
mm-hmm.
Last week. I just did a comprehensive literature search on the relationship between certain foods and thyroid disorders.
Yeah,
and
you got to
read my opinion on that, because, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are daunted by the belief that certain foods may damage their thyroid.
Right.
And
or they were told never to eat these foods.
Yeah, yeah. So read my article. I think it will, mm-hmm. kind of make sense for you. And it's posted now at drhoffman.com on goitrogens.
Yes.
Goitrogens. Okay, let's get into questions.
Okay, we've got an email from Randy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My A1C has run about 5.5, 5.6. I talked to my doctor into prescribing 500 milligrams of time-release metformin to use once a day. Talked his doctor into it.
Wow.
Within 3 months, my A1C lowered to 5.2.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm planning on losing some weight and exercising more so that I could get my A1C to about 4.8, which was his previous low.
Wow.
I've read about
that's low.
Yeah. I've read about glucose impact on health, it seems that metformin use to lower glucose is a good choice. What is your opinion?
Okay. Interesting question, because let's first start with the hemoglobin A1C. What is that? That is a test that measures your glucose average,
yeah.
over a period of 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the lifespan of a red blood cell, which is around for 3 or 4 months. And the, mm-hmm. hemoglobin that is contained in the red blood cell gets glycosylated by sugar in your blood, and that creates what's called hemoglobin A1C, or glycosylated hemoglobin. And it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's actually interesting, because glycosylation is a process that causes body-wide deterioration. So when your hemoglobin's getting glycosylated, the proteins in your eye, in your,
yeah.
brain, in your heart, in your skin, they're getting glycosylated by elevated glucose.
They're rusting.
The criterion for a normal hemoglobin A1C is above 6.2 is diabetic, 5.8 to 6.2 is intermediate,
mm-hmm.
and below, you know, 5.7 or below, you're okay. However, there's some people make the point that you might want to optimize your hemoglobin A1C, and if it's 5.7, it's okay, but it may,
it's kind
you could
of
do better.
Pre-diabetic-ish.
You could do better. Yeah. You could do better. Is it worthwhile taking metformin to lower it? I believe that one should endeavor to do it through diet and
stop eating the French fries first.
Right. And exercise.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And, you know, you can take chromium. You can take a very helpful way to lower hemoglobin A1C is with berberine.
Yes.
Which is in a product that we make, or we sell. We don't make
CM Core.
CM Core,
mm-hmm.
which you can find at drhoffman.com. Berberine is very effective. Now, here's the interesting thing about metformin. Some people are just taking it when they don't have diabetes or they're fine. A, because,
yeah.
it helps somewhat with weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
B, There are some studies that suggest that metformin may have an anti-cancer effect.
Yes.
So I just saw a cancer patient who we have on metformin because we want to do everything. She's done a wonderful job of surviving very aggressive breast cancer. It was in 20 lymph nodes in 2002. And here it is 2016, and she's okay. Mm-hmm. But the concern is she's had some local recurrences in her breast, not elsewhere in her body, thank God. But she's now on metformin in addition to a whole program of diet and exercise and supplements to prevent cancer from coming back. There's actually a research underway looking at treatment of pancreatic cancer with metformin. Also, fatty liver disease may be treatable with metformin. That's highly related to metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance.
And it's more prevalent than we think, actually, fatty liver. And non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and AFLD.
Yep.
So, but metformin, it's very interesting because then it really elucidates the role of glucose or sugar in feeding cancer.
Yep.
So metformin kind of really curbs that.
Yeah, so I would rather, I mean, nice that it illustrates that, but it'd be nice to do it naturally.
Absolutely.
With a low-carb diet.
A low-carb diet, I love the combination, instead of a metformin, also known as glucophage, the combination of CM-Core and diaxanol, which has the chromium and the gymnema.
Yeah.
So very, very beneficial.
D-I-A-X-I-N-O-L.
Right.
Which is a product that we give to our patients for blood sugar control.
Yeah, I often characterize CM-Core as the natural metformin or the natural glucophage to some degree, or that combination of CM-Core and diaxanol, because it's so effective. And even those who already have established type 2 diabetes and are taking metformin and are still having trouble, we still add that to the mix. And that synergy is very helpful with CM-Core and diaxanol.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, interesting question, and you'll see, I think metformin is, you know, the interesting thing about metformin is that it was used a while for diabetes, and then there were a few cases of people getting sick from it, and it was banned. It was it was taken off the market.
Really?
And then it was reintroduced because it was found, after all, it was safe, but it's just not a good idea to give it to very sick patients, like in the hospital, who are, you know, having liver failure and kidney failure and, you know, are on their last legs. But for ordinary people, it's well tolerated.
Yeah.
It causes some gastrointestinal symptoms. It has a bit of a laxative effect, seems. And it may deplete B12. So if you're on glucophage or metformin, you need to take extra B12.
Right. B12 and I believe folate as well. Not as much as a B12.
Possibly.
For those who are having diarrhea episodes with metformin, I think the extended release I've seen to be better tolerated.
Okay,
than
good. That's a good
point.
So
that's something.
Yeah.
That could be something. Randy, thank you for this question. So Dr. Hoffman does like metformin, but, you know, diet and exercise absolutely first. You can get your A1Cs down if you have been at 5.5, 5.6. So.
Right. This is a real, let's point out, Randy's really an optimizer because, you know, bottom line, a 5.5 or 5.6 would be ignored by most doctors.
Yeah.
And this is a person who wants to get it superb as opposed to just okay.
Right, right. Good for you for being proactive, Randy. Thank you for your email. We've got an email from Bunny. Bunny says, I am past 80 with osteoporosis, take no medications except a baby aspirin. I'm active, and among my supplements, I take a pharmaceutical strength Bone Guardian, which includes boron, silica, and some strontium.
It sounds like our osteosupport.
Yeah.
But
the
problem is if it's got calcium in it, it shouldn't have strontium in it.
Right. She says boron, it probably does have calcium in it. So many of these bone formulations do, unfortunately, contain both
because
calcium and strontium.
Because the strontium is meaningless if it's combined in a pill with the calcium. It should not be taken with calcium.
Right,
it's like a token thing, and it's probably very small amounts, too.
Bunny says, I have a feeling the tablets are not being absorbed well and would like to know what you would suggest from your store that would absorb better.
All right.
So the first thing I would question is what you just said.
Right.
If Bone Guardian is containing, not besides the strontium, but additional calcium, that's not going to help either way.
Right.
So taking them separately.
Right, if she needs it. I mean,
if
I don't know what her DEXA is or bone density is.
Right.
But the strontium should be taken at bedtime.
She does take a baby aspirin. I don't think that's going to compromise. That's her only medication past 80 years old.
Right.
So, yeah. So taking strontium, Bunny, I would add for you also, instead of something like Bone Guardian, osteosupport, taking something like Ostera. Ostenol, we like very much, bone morphogenic protein.
Right.
You want to make sure you're getting adequate omega-3 fatty acids as well. You want to be taking magnesium, vitamin D, and vitamin K.
Right.
K2. 180 micrograms a day would be the standard
product
dose.
Product is MK7. Yeah.
We're
pretty generous giving out our protocol for osteoporosis. Those are the supplements that seem to make
a difference.
It's been so
beneficial. Yeah. The other thing that we've done, and these are our own case studies, and we've talked about it at the Osteoporosis Summit, that the ones who were able to reverse osteoporosis back into osteopenia included all of these, but as well included some DHEA once levels are tested.
That's good.
So I've got to wonder about DHEA levels in somebody past 80.
Past 80, very likely they're low. And DHEA can be, it acts as an antidepressant in older individuals. It actually has a mood elevating effect. And so I think DHEA should be taken under a doctor's supervision because it is a hormone.
Yeah.
But if correctly administered, it's got a little bit of an anti-sarcopenia effect, which is another element in falls. You know, I got a phone call from a friend of my mother. My mother passed away a few years ago, and she had a friend who was a little younger, but now her friend is in trouble. And she called up and she says, I've fallen 3 times. I can't, you know, I now have to be in a wheelchair. And, you know, she's a woman in her 80s, and she's always been thin, but I think she's suffering from sarcopenia or muscle loss and weakness, and she didn't have that much muscle reserve to begin with. So that's, and so whether or not your bones are fragile, if you're falling, you're going to break stuff.
Right.
So when you can do physical exercise along with a little hormonal support, adequate protein, that will maintain your muscle mass.
You know, the RDA, and there's a study on the cusp of coming out, it's not out yet, that the RDA minimal is 0.8 RDA per kilogram. It's too low. And the older a person gets, particularly women, they're not eating that much anymore. Their appetite is
lessened. What does that translate to for a person, like 30, 40 grams of protein?
Yeah, 30, 40 grams. It's not a whole lot.
Right.
The range should be anywhere between like 60 and maybe 110.
Particularly the branched chain amino acids.
Which
unfortunately for vegans is mostly the source is muscle meat.
Right.
You know, muscle flesh.
Yeah.
Provides a combination of leucine, isoleucine, and valine.
Right. Whey protein is helpful with the branched chain amino acids as well. So, Bunny, congratulations on taking such good care of yourself. Make sure you're taking that baby aspirin on a full stomach, never on an empty.
So, here's the deal. Bunny is, she emailed us.
Yeah.
And she's going to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Good for her. You know, I love it when we have octogenarians who are, you know, that's great brain calisthenics. When you're working with the computer and you're listening to health information, it's going to be really good for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bunny. All right. We've got an email. Oh, hi, my name is John and I am 8 years old. I hear all your podcasts because my dad listens to them and I get to listen too. I have a question. Why is sugar so addictive? As soon as I eat a piece of candy, I want another one. My dad hates it when I eat candy. He doesn't let me eat much. Thank you. My daddy helped me write this.
Excellent. You know, we divide these podcasts into two parts. So this is a great question that we are going to field in part two. This will be the lead question in part two of today's Q&A with Layla.
This is a new demographic listening to these podcasts.
I mean, I love it. We got an 80-something and we got an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that. Thank you for listening. And we'll be right back with part two of today's Q&A with Layla.